For I am the Lord, I change not. This morning we read from Acts chapter 2, verse number 40, when Peter is closing out his message on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God has descended upon them in the upper room. They're Jews from all portions of the world that have gathered in that place for that festive time of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And Peter, who was back down by May, just a month or so prior to this event, points his finger in the face of all the Jews that have assembled together for this time and preaches unto them that they have crucified the Lord of glory. And he preaches the gospel unto them. They are pricked in their heart and they are brought, amen, under conviction, and they have a desire to be born into the family of God. In the concluding remarks of that message, Peter says this to them in verse number 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself from this untoward generation. There's no other place in the Bible that phrase is used, save yourselves, because we know that there is nothing that we can save ourselves from. Amen. When it comes to salvation, we must have the grace of God. When it comes to the storms of life, we need the grace of God. When it comes to suffering, we need the grace of God. When it comes to trouble and trials, we need the grace of God. But we are told in this passage of Scripture that we can save ourselves from this wicked world. We can save ourselves from this period of time that is represented by a crooked mindset, an ungodly way, and an ungodly mindset that is manifested in the day in which we live. We tried to give a description of the generation that we live in. We said that this is a world who seemingly has let principle have no meaning in their life, and how that principle is the means of our foundation, the fundamental foundation of truth in which we believe and which we stand upon. We said that this generation, that perversion controls their mind. We said this generation, perception is missing. They can't seem to perceive truth. They can't seem to embrace truth from the Word of God. We said that it's a generation where preachers have no message. Amen. They can't seem to get a word from God. They can't seem to preach something that would turn, amen, the lives of those that are undone without God to the gospel of the grace of God. We said we live in a generation where politicians have no morals, and we believe that tonight. And then where people have no motive. And we brought out how that it seems as if nothing is driving anybody with a desire to serve the Lord. There's no giants being slain as David slew Goliath in the valley of Elah, as he was driven by a cause that had been placed in his heart to the glory of God. It seems as if there's no battles being won because of our families and our children and what they are worth to us in this day. Nobody seems to be praying. Nobody seems to be paying the price. No one seems to desire purity. No one seems to desire to walk with God in this day. But I'm glad when we look at generations and we see that many things have changed, and we consider that cultures change from one generation to the next. We see when we look at the generations of the past, we understand that one generation may live in a wicked state, while maybe another generation will live in a moral setting of some sort. We look at generations that change from one day to the next. But I'm glad in the midst of all the generations, whether it's a kingdom that rises or a kingdom that falls, a nation that experiences revival or a nation that is undone without God, whether it's a world in Noah's day whose every imagination of their heart was only evil continually, whether it was a town like Lot lived in, whether it's a nation like Samson and Gideon served in, whether it's a nation like Samuel preached to or I Isaiah preached to you. There's one thing for certain, and that is some things in regarding God that has not changed. Amen. And with that, thank God we have hope in which we can serve the Lord. Amen. Say, preacher, it's wicked. I know the world's wicked, and it's growing more wicked each day, the songwriter said, but God has not changed. Amen. Thank God the promises of God have not changed. And so I want you to turn your Bible, if you would, for just a moment to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 45. We're going to run a few references tonight, and if the Lord will help us, I want us to get encouraged from the Lord tonight that we do not have to be a part of this untoward generation. We don't have to be a part of this wicked world. Yes, things are changing. Yes, things are happening around us, but I'm glad tonight that there are some things, amen, that God has said will last from generation to generation, and in the lasting of those things, praise God, we have hope. Our young people have hope. Our families have hope. You dads have hope. You mamas have hope. You young people can serve God. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 45 and verse number 17. Psalms 45 and verse number 17. Notice what the psalmist said. He said, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Amen. I thought about this tonight. I thought about some things that has not changed. I want you to look in Psalms 135. Flip hurriedly there. Psalms 135 and Psalms 45. He says, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and forever. Notice what he says again, Psalms 135 and verse number 13. The psalmist says this, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all what? Generations. A lot of things change from one generation to the next. A lot of things happen from one generation to the next. History, amen. And all things, take culture. I mean, so much changes. But I'm glad he's still the Lord, amen. He has not changed his title. He has not changed who he is tonight. He is still the Lord of glory. And there's still a God in heaven tonight, amen, who is the Jehovah God, who is able to supply your need, able to meet your need, able to help you when you're in trouble, able to strengthen you when you're weak, able to give you faith when your faith is weak tonight. I'm telling you, God said, I've never changed, and my title will be the same from one generation to the next. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there's going to come a day when the earth will cease to be, but God will still be God. God, amen, will still be who he said he would be. You say, preacher, things aren't like they used to be. Things aren't like they used to be. And I realize tonight they're not the way they used to be in a lot of ways, but I'm telling you, God's still the same. Oh, yes, tonight. Praise God, he hadn't changed his title. Amen. He hasn't weakened his purity. He hadn't weakened his ability to provide. He hadn't weakened anything about who he is. He is still the one that's high and lifted up that Isaiah saw. Amen. He is still the Lord of glory. He is still, amen, the fairest among 10,000. He is still, amen, to be exalted and to be praised. He hadn't changed who he is. Praise the Lord. Look at Lamentations chapter 5 with me for just a moment. Lamentations chapter number 5. Keep your finger there in the book of Psalms. I'm just going to read you some verses. Try to exhort you tonight for the Lord to help us. I'm telling you tonight, you need to understand that you change. Amen. Some of you, your moods and your attitudes change more than I change my clothes. Amen. But I'm glad God's moods and his, amen, his attitude never has changed. Everything you can relate about who God is, and the title. You can go through the names of God. Maybe that's what I probably should have done. You can talk about the Jehovah God that Abraham met, the Jehovah God that Jacob met. You can meet him, amen, in so many different areas. The Lord will provide, amen. And God, thank God, is as real as he's ever been, amen. Your heart may be cold and calloused and hard, and you might, amen, be away from the Lord tonight. But I'm telling you, you're the one that's away. It's not God. He's still, amen, seated in the place, amen, in which God had established for him to be, amen. Lamentations 5:19, notice what it says. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. He said, here's what he said again. He said, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Notice what he says. Let me read this to you if I can find it. In Psalms 14, I believe it is. Amen. Let me find it if I can. Psalms chapter 8. Maybe it's 146. I can't read my own handwriting. Amen. Amen. Let me find the verse I'm looking for. Lord, help me tonight. Amen. I'm going to find it. Amen. If it takes all night. Here's what he said in Psalms 146. Amen. In verse number 10. He said, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. He said, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to say this to you tonight. God hadn't changed his title. He's still Jehovah God. And Lamentations said, thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. He hadn't changed his throne. Amen. Thank God he hadn't changed who he is, and he hadn't changed where he's at. Amen. He's still the God of heaven. He's still in control tonight. Your world in your own mind may be out of control, but it's not out of control in heaven. Amen. The political structure of America and the world may be out of control. There may be an upheaval and chaos in the Middle East, but tonight it's not out of control. In the throne room of God, things are in perfect control in heaven tonight. God is on his throne. God is still seated there. Hallelujah. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, the generations change. They grow wicked from one generation to the next. Different sins dominate generations. We can look at the past and how liquor ran through America and the world like a raging river. And now we deal with drugs and alcohol. We can see how music and those types of sins have affected our young people in the 60s. And now sexual sin seems to dominate the world that is around us. And things change. The devil's devices may vary from one to the next, but God is still on the throne. Amen. That hasn't changed. Amen. No matter whether it's Noah's day, when the mind of man's wicked, it doesn't make it versus Lot's day, when they're living in sensual ungodliness, it doesn't make any difference if it's in the days of the judges, when they're bowing to idolatry, or right here in 2012 in America tonight, where there's sin on every hand, God is still seated on the throne. You can still live for him. You can still go before him. You can still get help. You can still find forgiveness. You can live for God tonight.
Hallelujah.
He hadn't changed his title. And he hadn't changed his throne. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Amen. You can still come boldly unto it. We live in the most prayerless generation that's ever existed in the world. We have turned prayer into something that is completely meaningless. I'm talking about people have no altar anymore. People don't get along with God and audibly communicate with God. Amen. Nobody prays. Nobody spends time with the Lord. We live in a prayerless generation. We live in a generation of young people that know nothing about the presence of God. There are young people in this building that have heard preaching all their life. They've been raised in a Christian home, and they have never personally experienced, amen, what it means to get along with God in prayer and commune with God, the power of the Spirit of God move on their soul, and they pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's young people in this building that know nothing about that kind of walk with God. They never take the initiative to get along with God and say, I'm not going to leave until you bless me like Jacob did. I'm not getting up from here until I know, amen, that you've heard my prayer. I'm going to lay hold of the horns of the altar. I'm going to cry out to God, and I'm going to pray till heaven hears me. I'm going to cry out to God until God moves on my soul. There's young people in this building that's never been there. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like, Brother Jim, amen, to hear men talk about walking with God and hear men preach about praying and getting along with the Lord and the presence of God being real in their life. And I've walked home, and I've said, Lord, I ain't never felt that way. I've never experienced that. But it's a glad day in my life, amen, when I crawled down in the back of a junkyard with a bunch of old cars everywhere and crawled in between them old cars and in the back seat and started praying and calling on God, getting in an old school bus and bound by one of them old bench seats, amen, just by myself and communicating with the Lord. You know what I found out? I found out, Brother Jimmy, he's still on the throne. Amen. I could come boldly under the throne of grace and find grace to help in a time of need. I found out that he's exactly where he said he would be. I found him on the throne, and I cried out to him, and the psalmist said, he heard me. He hasn't changed. Amen. I bound to the altar beside that organ. When I'm here and I pray, most time I pray over there on that little altar bench. Amen. And God's met with me there. I prayed there. I've got up and walked around this church praying, grabbing these pews and asking God to meet the needs of families, working the lives of people. And I've had the Lord move on my soul and touch my heart. Amen, just me and God in here. Amen, just praying. And amen, just worshiping the Lord, just along with God. I'm telling you, God's on his throne tonight. That hasn't changed. Now, you may have changed. You may have taken your altar out of your family's life. You may have taken your altar out of your personal life. You may have moved some things around in your life. But God hasn't moved. God has not moved. He's still on the throne tonight. Psalms chapter 12. Amen. Psalms chapter 12. I mentioned this morning. I'll mention it again. Psalms chapter 12. Verse 7. Amen. Psalm chapter 12. Most of our young people could quote this verse, these verses, I guess, without any question. Brother James Jones has preached from this text often here in our school. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. He says in verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. But in the midst of all of their wickedness and in the midst of all of their vile ways, the word of the Lord, the word of God, is kept and preserved from this generation forever. Now you do notice that word generation is in every verse I've read tonight. Amen. When he talks about who he is, he lets us know, amen, that the Lord remains who he is forever. Amen. from this generation. He tells us that His throne is from generation to generation. He tells us that His truth tonight is preserved from generation to generation. The psalmist said in Psalms 105 and verse 8, He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, He hadn't changed His title. He hadn't changed His throne. And I'm telling you, the Lord changeth not. He hadn't changed His truth tonight. Amen. This Bible still stands. The world may crumble tomorrow. We may step out on nothing tomorrow, and the world may end. But the Word of God, amen, is settled in heaven. The Word of God that I hold in my hand tonight, amen, God said that it'll be preserved from this generation forever. Now you know that tonight, but why aren't you using it? God said if you'll do these truths, you'll allow these truths and these principles, amen, to be manifested in your life. He said, I'll bless you. I'll keep you. Amen. This book is full of promises tonight, young people. Young men, this book is full of promises from God. Do you believe them tonight? Do you cherish them? Are they a treasure to you tonight? This Bible is the Word of God. And the generations around us, they change and sin may abound on every hand. But if you'll do what this Bible says, God will satisfy the longing of your soul. God will strengthen your faith. God will enable you to serve Him. Right now, you can save yourself from this untoward generation. Amen. But you can't do it apart from God's truth. And I could preach a lot about that tonight, but I'm about done. God has a book, and you will walk in it, live by it, or be wrong. I don't have any convictions that you can't find in that Bible. I've got some preferences. There's some things that I prefer. I prefer to wear boots rather than shoes you have to tie up. That's not a conviction. I just kind of calculated in my mind one time how much time a man would spend untying his shoes and tying them every day. And I figured I could build a house probably with the time I'd waste in a lifetime tying and untying my shoes. So I just wear boots. Amen. Now that's not a conviction because I can't prove that from the Bible.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what, I know men that will die for things, amen, that they've implemented in their life, and you can show them things from the Bible and they don't have a problem violating that.
That's exactly right.
Amen. I told Tyler, and I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. I told Tyler the other week, I said, you can't find that celebrating Christmas is wrong in the Bible. But now I've had people come to this church, be members of this church, that didn't celebrate Christmas. And that's fine. But I don't want to hear nothing about it because it's not in the Bible. I mean, I've had them believe it so strong. Is anybody listening to me tonight? I've had to believe it. I got to believe it so strong that they wouldn't even walk to the prayer room because the ladies had decorated back through there and hung up some things, you know, garlands or whatever, just in celebration of Christmas. But they're not here tonight. They're morning glories. They come to church on Sunday morning, but you quote Hebrews 10:25 to them, they don't have a problem with missing church. They're not here tonight. Won't be here Wednesday night. But amen. Amen. You couldn't cut their throat with a dull pocket knife. Amen. And threaten them, get them to celebrate Christmas. You know what that is? That's heresy. Amen. I've known them. Amen. I've known them. Amen. They wouldn't eat hog meat, but they wouldn't tithe. I could preach to you all kind of crazy stuff that men believe, that they have no Bible to substantiate what they believe. Amen. I'll tell you what, amen, the message I preached this morning was taken from a text of celebration. They were celebrating the feast of, amen, they were celebrating the day of Pentecost. Amen. They celebrated feasts and decorated and had festive times in the Bible. Amen. But people don't want to believe truth. They don't want to establish anything on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, you better look at me tonight. Don't get nervous, amen. You'll be all right. We'll be done here in just a minute. I'm telling you what, that Bible's going to stand when everything around you is falling apart. And I'm telling you what I'm going to believe is going to be found in that book. Amen. There's things that I believe, amen, that you might not be able to bring out a verse of Scripture, amen, that I embrace and I believe, but the principles are laid out in the precepts of God's Word, and this book will stand. This book will stand. This book will stand. The generations may change and they may grow wicked from day to day, but the Word of God will still work. I've had moms and dads do things, make decisions about their families, and I'd say, all right, what's the Bible say? They don't want to hear what the Bible says. Amen. That's right. They're not interested in the Word of God. You know, you men have an obligation to your family from this Bible. I mean, you have a scriptural obligation to your family from this Bible. And if you are in a position where you can't fulfill that obligation to your family, then you're out of the will of God. I don't care if it's a job. It don't make any difference to me what it is. I don't care. And everybody's got to make a living, and I understand that. I don't care if it's a job. I don't care if it's a hobby. I don't care if it's something that you want to do. Amen. You have no business being in any situation of any sort that would distract or take away from your biblical obligation from this Word of God to your family. You believe that? You better know I believe it. You better believe I believe it tonight. And I don't believe God. I don't believe you're in a position for the blessings of God to be manifested in your life. Otherwise, it's serious. Amen. I've seen people, amen, get in much, experience much damage and much hurt in their life because they thought that they had to do something because it was just something they wanted to do. It was going to be a means of advancement for their family, but they violated principles in this book. And they're right now in the same shape they were. Nothing's changed. In fact, most of them are worse off. I've seen them lose their children to the world. I've seen them lose their families. I've seen more strife and more conflict in homes than you can imagine over jobs. Amen. 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 What you better understand is no matter what the generations may do, this book will prevail. Psalms 33 and verse 11. And I'm done. Amen. Psalms 33, verse 11. I'm just preaching on some things tonight. No matter what the generation does, no matter what period of time you find yourself in, these things don't change. And because these things do not change, you are able to save yourself. Is everybody getting that tonight? Amen. You are able to save yourself from an untoward generation. Psalms 33, verse 11. The counsels of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. I'm finished tonight. His title hadn't changed. His throne hadn't changed. His truth hadn't changed. His thoughts hadn't changed either. He still thinks the same way right now as he did when he said, "Let there be light." God still got the same mind and the same thought process. He hadn't changed his mind. He hadn't changed his mind. He hadn't reordered his way of thinking. His thoughts are the same. Are you listening tonight? My question is, How do you think the Lord thinks about sinners being saved? He thinks the same way he thought in the beginning. Amen. It's very important that you understand that God has a desire for your life. God has a desire for you to fulfill his will and to walk in truth and to serve him with gladness. The thoughts of his heart, what he desires, that's where his desires are found. The desires that God has for your life has never changed. And tonight, he wants you to serve him. He hadn't changed his mind about the will of God for your life. I've seen men that said God called them to preach, and I'm confident that some of them, God didn't call them to preach. They got caught up in serving the Lord, and they wanted to serve the Lord. And they were just preached, and it was promoted in their mind that serving God means you're going to preach the gospel, and that's not the case. But I know men that have been caught up in that. And they never can seem to find any stability in their faith, in their walk with the Lord, in their social life. They're unstable because they have not settled the thought of God in their life. But God hadn't changed his mind about what he wants you to do with your life. God, I've seen men that, they're in evangelism between pastorates. I could tell you a young man right now. He's not a young man, but I could mention a young man's name tonight. Some of you would know him, some of you wouldn't. And I'm gonna tell you what he said God was doing in his life, if I can remember it all. He was gonna be a mechanic missionary at one time, go around and help people on the mission field with their vehicles. God called him to preach. He's going to be a missionary to the military. Then God, if I'm not mistaken, God called him to Mexico. And then I'm thinking maybe God may have called him to Canada or somewhere. Is that right? And then God called him to be a church planter in Minnesota. Is everybody listening to me? Then God called him to pastor over here in Kentucky, not far from here. Now look at me. I don't no more believe that than I believe that you can fly an airplane with both eyes closed. And I don't believe you can fly an airplane with both eyes open, much less both eyes closed. But the point I'm trying to make is he probably never was called to preach to start with. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Because God doesn't change his mind about his will. Amen. I seriously prayed after I was at this church for a period of time. And it had a membership, it had a nucleus, a body of people. I thought, the Lord had burdened my pastor's heart about maybe a work being established somewhere else. And I would get up in the morning and I would crawl in the bathroom, a little old bathroom I had in the old house. And I had a place in there that I would go in and pray and spend time with God. I'd cut the fan on or the heater on, make a little racket. I'd spend some time with the Lord in there. And I remember praying and asking God, is this what you want me to do with my life? And I was sincere. And I'm telling you, I'm where God wanted me to be. You know what I pray now? You know what I pray now? You know what I just prayed a while ago with my wife. You know what me and her prayed, or I prayed for both of us? I said, Lord, as a union, strengthen our bodies. Give us sound minds. Lengthen our days. And allow us to serve this congregation of people in the will of God. Amen. God hadn't changed his thoughts. Now you change yours from day to day. And generations change from one period of time to the next. But God hadn't changed his way of thinking. He still saves the same way. He still empowers men to serve the same way. God has not changed. Men have changed their methods. They have tried different tactics to try to grow the church and to try to manipulate men to come to the gospel, but God still does it the same way. You preach the cross, the Holy Spirit brings conviction to the soul of a man, and when that takes place, all he has to do is yield his heart to God. And that's what the Bible teaches. Some of this foolishness that's being preached in fundamental churches about being saved, I'm telling you, is not in the Bible. You can't find it in this book. You say, well, preacher, I tell you what, you just don't know what I experienced when I got saved. I can take you to some people that's experienced speaking in tongues. But listen to me, look at me. I'm talking about people that I've known all my life that wouldn't lie to me about nothing. But I don't no more believe they spoke in tongues under the leadership and the power of the Holy Ghost than you do what you say you believe if you're a fundamental Baptist. Because you're sitting on a Baptist pew ain't not going to make me believe your experience above truth. Amen. There's a lot of people experienced a lot of things. But if it don't line up with that Bible, God has not changed his way of thinking.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can look at their life and you can see exactly what a man does when he's filled with the Spirit of God. Bezalel and Aholiab was filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom, and God used them, amen, as a vessel to build the sanctuary and the tabernacle of God, being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And so your experience, no matter what your experience may be, your experience is not going to supersede truth.
Right.
Zacchaeus crawled up in a tree. Now, you may have crawled in an altar when you got saved, and that's good. Zacchaeus was in a tree.
Yep.
And he didn't have no altar.
Right.
The Philippian jailer was in a dungeon when he got saved.
Yep. That's right.
He said, what must I do to be saved? When he found out, he done it. You know what? He got saved.
Amen.
And I know this might make some of you nervous, but there's not a verse in the Bible that even says he prayed a prayer. He didn't pray the sinner's prayer, far as we know.
Amen.
He believed that crowd in Acts 3, 3,000 souls got saved. You know what happened? Peter preached the gospel to them. That's what happened. And they were pricked at the heart. They got under conviction. They realized what had happened. Amen. And they were undone without God. They were in sin. And they wanted to be saved. And I'm telling you, God added 3,000 souls to the church. Not a verse in Acts 2 where one of them said one prayer. Now, I know that makes some of you nervous, but what I said about that charismatic speaking in tongues didn't make you nervous, did it? But your experience is no more biblical than theirs. I'm telling you, it's a Bible experience, or it's just an experience. I'm going to tell you what, when I got right with God, I was under such conviction I couldn't even talk. I told you about the other week, I was sitting in a pew back there, stood up in a church and testified. I'm telling you what, I was tore all to pieces. And I'm telling you, I didn't come this way, I went that way. I didn't come this way, I went that way. I walked out of that building with a heart that had been changed by the power of God. Because I repented in that pew. And I walked out that building to serve the Lord. Amen. That's been over 30-something years ago. And it changed my life. So, well, preacher, that's not what happened to me. I can't help what happened to you. I just know that what happened to me is biblical. Now, I don't know what happened to you. But if it don't line up with this book, you better check it out real close. Because I'm going to tell you what salvation does, friend. Salvation saves from sin. Salvation puts a divine nature in the heart of the believer that motivates that creates a thirst and a desire for the things of God. Amen. The thoughts of God, the mind of Christ. Amen. A desire to live for Jesus, a desire to walk with God, a desire. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, it's amazing. It's amazing how we're manipulated by tradition. It's amazing how religious culture has been, amen, formed in our mind, and young people live in doubt and dismay, and that they can't seem to get victory over sin. They can't seem, amen, to overcome this generation and this world. It's because they've never had a Bible experience. Oh, they've tried to have an experience the preacher's talked about, or somebody back here's testified about. That's never happened to me. The way it happened to him, it didn't happen to me that way. You better find out what happened to you. I'm going to tell you what, when I got right with God, God changed my life. And I walked through the pages of that book, and that book bore witness with my heart. And that's a final authority tonight. And you can trust a lot of things in this world that'll send you down the valley of dark doubt and despair. But if you'll put your trust in that book, that is the mind of God. God hadn't changed his thoughts at all. The thoughts of his heart, the thoughts of his heart tonight is for you to live in victory over sin and the world. That's what God's desire is for you tonight. Young lady, young man tonight, God has a desire for you to live in victory over this generation. This untoward generation. We have a responsibility to it, as I preached several weeks ago, as Noah did. We have a responsibility to the world around us. We are light in a dark world. We have a responsibility to this generation. God has a desire for you tonight, young lady. God does. You young ladies here tonight, God has a desire for your life. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I know mom and dad's got desires for you, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. I have a desire for you as a pastor. I want to see you happy, fruitful, live for the Lord, enjoy a good life. Amen. That's what I long to see in your life. Have no greater joy, Paul said, than to see my children walk in truth. I've preached to some of you ever since you was little bitty. Amen. And I want to see you live for God. We prayed over little Marshall this morning. I have a desire to see that young boy grow up, be saved, and live for Jesus. No greater. I'd like to see him be successful in life and do well in school, have a great life, a vocation, be successful. But I want to see him live for God more than anything else. Wouldn't bother me none if he lived in a shack somewhere in the backside of nowhere. Are you listening to me? And have a Bible that he believed with all of his heart and a prayer life and live for God, that displeased me beyond measure. Amen. That's the thoughts of God. They haven't changed. And I'm going to tell you, young people, there's some things you desire in your life. Is that not right? Some of you are wanting some things in your life. The sad part about it is what you desire in life is being replaced what your flesh wants. And the problem with that is the only way you're gonna experience the fulfillment and satisfactions of true natural desires is delight yourself in the Lord. If you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But to delight yourself in the Lord, you're gonna have to be mindful of his thoughts for you. They haven't changed. They haven't changed. I got in a fix up there and I may have mentioned this preaching in Pennsylvania. I'm preaching on the home. And, you know, Brother Carter got up there and said we had a college and a day school and ladies working in the school, different things of that nature. And then one of the deacons, I'd preached and I'd hammered the home pretty close, and he had a few questions for me. And I guess, you know, he's thinking, you know, in his mentality that we got some kind of girls' college here so we can establish, you know, a, a vocation for ladies and a career. And I said, sir, you got the wrong mindset. He said, well, you know, I just wonder about all those ladies coming up there in school. I said, those ladies are with their children and their grandchildren. I said, you know what I wonder about? I wonder about all your ladies that's bringing all these kids to soccer ball, soccer practice and basketball practice and volleyball practice all day long when they should be at home in the evenings with their husbands. That's what bothers me. Help us, Jesus. Amen. I said, what we're trying to do is prepare young ladies to teach their children and to properly fulfill their biblical obligation to educate them. Amen. And you do have a biblical obligation to educate them. Amen. And we're trying to help you with that. The thoughts of the Lord for you ladies is to prepare yourself to be wives and mothers. Amen. The thoughts for you young men is to prepare yourselves to be godly husbands and fathers. Serve the Lord. Make a provision for your family. That's not going to happen accidentally in this generation. Now you want to talk about this generation. This generation economically is a mess. And you're just not going to go out tomorrow and find a job for the most part, making enough money to support a family. And that's why we've tried to push and encourage for you to prepare yourself for your future. Amen. Amen. Fulfill the will of God for your life. That's very important. And it's your responsibility to man up and do that. Amen. God hadn't changed. There is a generation right here. You can be influenced, manipulated, and pulled into its mindset, drug in it. You can think like it thinks. You can dress like it dresses. You can talk like it talks. You can be entertained by the things that entertain it, or you can save yourself from it. The things that you need to save yourself from, it has never changed. God hadn't changed who He is. God hadn't changed His throne. You can still go to it and find grace and help. God hadn't changed His truth. God hadn't changed His thoughts for your life. I'm asking you something tonight. I tell you what, I was burdened coming while we were gone and on the way back about this generation in America. I've prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. I've prayed for this nation. I've prayed for its leaders. I prayed for God to save them. Amen. This country needs a move of God. I'm going to tell you what this country needs first and foremost. At this point, this country needs a church that'll be a light in a dark world. And you young people have the opportunity to be that light. But you've got to pull yourself away from the darkness. You're going to have to realize that this world is dark. And you got to save yourself from the deception and the destruction that is found in that darkness. What are you going to do about that? I've preached on prayer to these young people about getting along with God and knowing what it means to have an altar. I wouldn't embarrass them tonight, but it would probably be overwhelming to this church as to how many of these young people don't pray. They don't have an altar. They don't have one at all. We can sit here and we can talk about how clean they look and how much Bible they can quote and my, how well they can sing. But there are some things that they're never going to experience unless they have a prayer closet. There are some things about the Lord and about the will of God. There is a power to overcome this generation. It's found in a place of prayer. Jesus said, pray. You listening to me, young people? He said, pray, Chance, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The willingness of the spirit and the weakness of the flesh and what that involves in temptation, the success in that is praying.
Yes, sir, that's right.
What Jesus said. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto. Perseverance. Supplication for all saints. Praying. Be amazed the daddies in this building that cannot properly leave their home. They have no authority in their home. They have no ability in their home because they don't pray. Mothers here that are struggling in anguish over what's going to happen to their child in a few years. Worried about the spiritual condition that they're in. But all the while, in the midst of their worrying, in the midst of their deep concern, they can't seem to find a place to get a hold of God.
Amen.
But God's thoughts hadn't changed. He still said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, seek and ye shall find. He said, how many of you would ask his father for bread? He'd give him a stone. Many of you would ask him for a fish and he'd give you a serpent. How much more shall my heavenly Father give his spirit unto them that ask him? It's just that simple. He didn't change his thoughts about that. He's still looking for somebody to ask. I've had people go without things, do without things, and come to me or send somebody to me. And say, we need this. And I mean, they come to me in desperation. I said, why didn't you ask me a week ago? Why didn't you ask me a month ago? All you had to do was ask. All you had to do with that was ask. You listening? Ask. Do you pray? Do you make those petitions known unto God, those desires? His thoughts hadn't changed. His thoughts hadn't changed tonight. If you pray, I'm telling you, God will reward you openly if you pray in secret. What about it tonight? Amen. There's meetings all across the country. These folks are here for Brother Milby's camp meeting. We have our camp meeting in the spring. People come from all over the place. Preachers will preach their heart out. Singers will sing. We'll rejoice and go face the world. And there'll be some that come next year that'll come defeated. Some won't come at all. The generation, the mindset, and the pull has sucked them in by its influence and its pressure. God hadn't changed. And you can walk with God in this world if you are willing to utilize the things that God so intricately has preserved from generation to generation for you to have and possess. What about it tonight? Who is He in your life? Is He Jehovah God to you tonight? The man upstairs, maybe. Is He Jehovah God to you tonight? The sovereign God of the universe. I listened to a song the other day, and I'm telling you, some of them are so irreverent, sacrilegious, makes me sick to my stomach. Amen. The way they treat spiritual matters and the things of God disturbs me greatly. You better listen to me now. I'm going to tell you what God needs to hold a position in your mind and in your heart. You need to understand that you have access to His throne and realize the price that was paid for you to have that access. You need to realize tonight that God has truth. And if you will believe it, embrace it, and live by it, the blessing of God will be upon your family. You need to understand that God's thoughts has not changed for your life. His thoughts about all the principles in the Word of God.